This episode is sponsored by Explorer Journeys. Travel the world in an oceanfront suite on an ultra-elegant ship. Discover more at explorerjourneys.com.
I was surprised. I surprised myself at how I just wasn't nervous going into Sunday of Abu Dhabi.
Lando Norris is the Formula One World Champion!
Oh my God. You made a kid's dream come true. Thanks so much. I'm not crying.
The hunger is still there. Success is addictive. It's a drug.
Lando Norris is backing off. A swap of positions. Oscar Piastri goes back through into the lead of a Grand Prix.
Budapest a couple of years ago. I think if I won that race, McLaren wouldn't have achieved what they have over the last few years, which probably means we wouldn't have won the Drivers' Championship last year.
Do you see yourself as a one-team driver?
There's only one place I'd ever be interested in, but that's very, very in the distant future. For now, I'm heavily committed to McLaren being the only team I'll ever want to be with.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's F1 Beyond the Grid. I am delighted to say that we have the reigning world champion with us, Lando Norris. How are you?
Thank you very much. Say that again.
Does it ever get old?
It will never get old. No, it's just cool every time someone says it. So it always makes me smile. Probably will forever. But I got to make the most of it, you know. It doesn't last forever, so.
Hey, some people have got high hopes for later this year, Lando. But look, before we get on to that, we thought you might want to see a sort of new friend.
Whose is this one?
What are you saying?
Because it's not my one.
Well, so how does it work? So you were given the trophy at the FIA prize giving at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Do you get to keep that one?
I think so.
And where is it? Where do you keep it?
Above my Miami one. So I have Miami. I got the box that the Miami one came in.
So what, first race win and then first championship?
First race win and then championship now. Yeah.
What, on the mantelpiece, by the bed, next to the
it's
kettle?
It's kind of like when I open up my door, it's a little hallway.
First
thing
you see.
It kind of opens up. So it's a living room. So I have like a little desk within the box and the trophy on. And it's like a window behind it. So as I open up the door, it's like you see a shining light and then like the outline of a trophy. So it's pretty cool. It's really cool. Yes. It's really cool. I'm happy with it.
Look, you are the 11th British world champion, the 35th. In the history of Formula One. When you look at all the names on the trophy next to you, I mean, who are you most proud to be alongside? Who are your heroes?
Well, I think the easy ones to say is Lewis. I started watching, and Lewis and kind of Fernando at the time. I mean, I watched both of them in McLaren 2007. So that like the first race I can remember watching was 2007. I don't know if it was Indianapolis or Silverstone maybe. But I remember watching them and I remember seeing Lewis on the podium. So like for me, that was one of my earliest memories of F1 was seeing Lewis on the top step. That's why Barcelona was cool because it was like, I think it was the first time I got to share a podium with Lewis when he was on the top step again. And that kind of just gave me a little throwback feeling to that, like me as a kid going like, oh, sick, just seeing Lewis on the top step. So that was just pretty cool for me to kind of share that moment. But Lewis is probably the main one, and Fernando, because those were the two guys at McLaren at the time, and I've loved McLaren ever since. But you have some that I'm good friends with, you know, and like Jackie Stewart and Seb. Seb's on there a good amount, you know. So a few drivers that are nice to speak to now and get along with very well. Mika.
You do a lot with Mika now, don't you?
We do a good amount. I mean, he's still part of the McLaren family, so that's something that's very, very special for all of us. He comes to a lot of the races, so and he's just a fun guy to be around. So it's always nice when he's there to join us.
But how many of the guys you've just mentioned have a waxwork in Madame Tussauds, say?
Not many.
I know the
just
answer,
Lewis,
by the way.
Right?
And Senna, Ayrton Senna as well, but you didn't mention Ayrton, you didn't mention him. But
I mean, Senna is Senna. You don't need no explanation for Senna. Neither for Lewis, to be honest. I mean, it's just cool for me because I feel like most people know what Madame Tussauds is. So I just think it's something very cool. As simple as that. It's something very cool. You don't ever get put in Madame Tussauds unless, you know, you've achieved something pretty special. And that's what this trophy was, you know, so.
What do you make of your doppelganger?
I find it freaky because, you know, the only time you ever see yourself really is in a mirror. You only ever see yourself in 2D. You never see yourself in 3D. So I feel like it's weird to see yourself in depth, because otherwise you're always just looking at a flat image of yourself. So I find it odd, because I'm like, is that what I look like?
Is it accurate? Really accurate? Right down to the sort of dimples?
I think you have to tell me better than...
Well, I haven't seen
it. I say myself. Okay, well, then you have to go to Madame Tussauds. It is. Like, when you're up close, and kind of like the eyes, and I see the picture of like my eyes to the eyes that were kind of used, and the colors, and it's pretty accurate. And the moment of me, I think it was Miami, my first win. I think it was like the celebration of Miami.
Do you get to choose the pose? Because it's that... Yeah. Sort of clenched fist.
Yeah, which I think was Miami, was me on the podium. So that was like a cool moment when at that time, because you know, it was made, I was thinking of Silverstone last year, but this was made way, started making this way before Silverstone. So
interesting. So they started making it before the championship.
Yeah, almost over a year ago. Yeah. Well, easily over a
year
ago.
What's the process? So they don't just do it from photographs. Do you have to go in and have a fitting?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to go and stand on like a boarding, and you know, they have to get like all the skin tone color matched up. I think I was like just off a holiday, so I was pretty tanned before this. Obviously, depending, you have to get your haircut ready for an event like this. So
weirdly, the haircut is quite similar to what you've got now, given that they started.
Yeah, it's a little bit fresher. So it's kind of like, it was shorter sides. It was kind of ish towards when I was kind of going mullet-y, but you could still kind of decide this and choose kind of what you wanted, but. Yeah, I just found it weird, but just amusing at the same time to kind of see me, which is cool. So I'm very happy that people can go and see it.
Do you not get used to that now? I mean, kind of serious question. You're the recognition you get now, particularly with the championship. I mean, Madame Tussauds is a reflection of that, but are you still not used to the global recognition?
I think you kind of naturally, subconsciously get used to it. But I don't know, I feel like you see it always more from an outside perspective, you know. You see the size, the sensation of someone that you look at. So, you know, I feel like you see that when you look at other athletes and sports stars and footballers and things. You see, you know, the worldwide fame of someone from the outsider's perspective. So it's hard to kind of see what it's like for you or whoever seeing me in that perspective, you know. Otherwise, because I very much just live my life and I like to just be with my friends. And what do I see? I see that I get, you know, noticed more when I'm in public, and I have more fans, more supporters. Occasionally there's more stuff online, and your personal life's invaded a little bit more. So, you know, I see that. You see kind of the bigger, broader picture of all of it put together. So I don't know. I feel like I go along living my life, and with that then comes more and more, and I think you probably see it more than I do in some ways. So I get used to it and you get used to it, but it's still like, I still find it odd because I feel like I'm still me. I just want to come and drive the race car and then go home, and that's all I've ever wanted to do. But I'm still, you know, the fact I still see like I've the Lando stand in Silverstone, you have that many people that are there to kind of cheer for me and support me, the amount of messages I get from people, like all these different little things that are like, damn, why do these people do this for me? You know, it's like, that's the odd feeling more than just knowing you're famous or whatever it is. It's like, why are there so many people that are there to cheer for me? And that's the coolest part of it.
Is the Lando stand back at Silverstone this weekend?
Lando stand is it bigger way than, bigger,
bigger,
way
really?
Better. Yes, it's pretty huge. Silverstone have done an amazing job. I still have to thank them for kind of allowing us to do it.
Where is it on the track?
So it's still in Stowe. It's just huge. The grandstand's gone like further up, further around, especially the whole of Stowe, and now more. And I went to see it like, a month ago, a month and a half ago. So they've done like the British flag on it, my logo like on the seats. So even when no one's in it, it still looks pretty cool. And I think the bannering and everything's just gone up now. So it's pretty...
Will you pay a visit?
Yeah, of course. I think I'll go before the weekend to kind of just go and see it before, as everything's set up, before people are there. And then, of course, I think on Sunday during Drivers Parade, I'll hopefully stop off there. So no, I'll go, of course, I have to go pay a visit. They're my team. They're my fans, you know. So I'll go see them. And we have cool things set up. You know, I want them to have a good time. Like, I want them to have the better time than any other grandstand. So with some music and, you know, we partner with my partners to try and bring people the best weekend possible.
It's clear you're still buzzing about sort of everything associated with success.
Because
right?
It's not normal. It's not a normal thing. And I guess, I guess my life is not normal, but I still feel inside very normal. And I don't want to kind of, there are certain things in life that people are like, oh, you should go and do more of this and be seen here and go and do, like, I'm not fussed by that. You know, I really just want to enjoy my life. I'm not bothered by trying to necessarily hope that people remember me forever and go down in history and be remembered for it. Like, I want to do
good.
You're
going down in history.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's an amazing thing that I get to see, but it's not like, that's not why I started to drive in Formula One or wanted to be in Formula One. It's not like, because I want people to remember me forever. I want to win. And I want to win for me and my team and my people and my friends and my family and my fans and give to them. That's all I want to do. And if the bonus is that people might remember you and talk about you one day. And I think those are beautiful things. But, you know, I think you still have to be a little bit selfish in life because I still do it for myself, but also the people that are around me and my family.
Imagine listening to this episode in five-star luxury, relaxing on the private terrace of your oceanfront suite with a view of a Caribbean island, the coast of Japan, or the harbour at Monaco. I know that's how I'd like to see the world. And that's the experience you get with Explorer Journeys, the ultra-elegant ocean travel brand of MSC Cruises. You might have seen their ship Explorer One moored in Monaco during the Grand Prix. They're like five-star hotels on the oceans. Sip a drink in the bars, dine in the restaurants, swim in the heated pools, or even play the F1 driver's favourite game, paddle. I wonder if I'd be better if I played at sea. And if you've ever seen F1 drivers with their coaches and thought, I'd like someone to take care of me like that, Explorer Journeys always have a high staff-to-guest ratio for attentive, discreet, personalised, world-class service. And that while exploring iconic ports and less-travelled destinations. Reflect, recharge, reconnect, and discover the ocean state of mind with Explorer Journeys. Go to explorerjourneys.com to plan your trip.
Lando Norris is the Formula One World Champion! Norris wins the title in 2025! To call yourself the champion, you have to still be standing by the end of the fight. After 24 rounds, it's Lando Norris who takes his first world championship. It's the promised land for Lando.
Oh my God, you made a kid's dream come true. Thanks so much. I love you guys. Thanks for everything. You deserve it. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Thanks for everything. I'm not crying.
When you've strived for something for so long, in your case, winning the world championship, what is it like to actually achieve it?
There definitely was a moment of like, what do I do now? Like, I certainly had that thought of, what does it mean now? It's weird, like, trying to fight for that thing your whole life. And I mean, since I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old to 26, 20 years trying to achieve one thing, really, which was that. And then it's done. And the thing is, it's always so distant. You know, like, you've never done it till you've done it. But it always feels so far away. And you kind of, it's hard to at any time believe that it's going to happen, at least in my mind, until it happens. So it is quite a moment of like, it's just a buildup of kind of never really expecting it and realizing it until that very moment, you know, across the line. And you experience it for yourself, which is very different to seeing people on TV. You know, every time I saw Lewis won a championship or Max or Seb, you know, it's a very different perspective of it, the emotion and feelings and being surrounded by all those people.
Did you even for a moment think of doing a Rosberg and saying, I've done this, and walking away?
No, I think I said it in some interviews a long time ago with George and stuff, but I love what I do. I want to achieve more than one. I feel like I can achieve more than one. So I also because I've achieved it at a much younger time in my life than what Nico did. I don't know what age Nico was when he achieved his championship, but I think by that time he had kids and a wife, and I certainly don't at the minute. So yeah, maybe by that time when I do, or in a few years when I do, then my opinion will change on what I want to do.
how has it changed your appetite for racing and for success? I mean, very few people set out to climb Mount Everest twice, yeah, right? They just do it once.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, you know,
are you hungry
Mount Everest
now?
Is a pretty crazy thing to do, but I feel like there's a lot more risk in doing something like that. But the thing is, the hunger is still there. I think there are some things that in life that once you get that feeling of doing it once, you're like, you want more of it, and success is certainly an addictive, it's a drug. And you certainly get that from winning trophies and celebrating with the team and all of these incredible things. But certainly none of it's gone. Like I'm still at that point of, and I think it goes forever, honestly. That's why you still see Fernando here and Lewis here, is because they know what it feels like. They know what it does to you. And they're, 40, 44, 41 years old, still wanting to get that feeling again. One guy has 7 of them. And he still wants more, you know. So that's what it can do to someone, the effect it can have on someone.
And can you relate to that now? Can you see yourself as a 41-year-old still striving for that next one, next hit?
No.
Really, no?
No. You never know. I don't know if Lewis said, yeah, I'll be here when I'm 41. And I don't know if Fernando said he'll be here when he's 44. But
Well, Fernando left and then thought, actually, I want more of that. I'll go back.
Yeah, then maybe. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to expect in 10 years. I very much live in the now of my life. I also look forward to certain things in the future. But no, I want to retire and have kids. I want to go play golf. I want to travel the world without a job. And
you can still do all of those things.
Go have fun with my friends. And
you can still do all of those things and be a Formula One driver.
Yeah, but you know. But that's the thing, like, you know, a lot of drivers retire and then they're like, damn, I shouldn't have retired. Or some go, yeah, the best decision I made and I'm happy I moved on. Some regret that they retired and are like, damn, I miss it. So my time will come when I need to make that decision and make it and then see what happens. But that's a lot. That's too far away for now. So I'm not bothered by thinking of it for now. I want two of my names in a row and that's my goal for now.
Well, what chance of two names in a row? Talk us through the MCL 40 and
at the minute, pretty
I mean, it's
slim.
Been a sticky start.
Pretty
we can
slim.
Say that, right? Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to rule it out. I wouldn't want to be here if you ruled something out that quickly in life. So,
but all this talk of winning, right? When you have the frustrations that there have been so far this year,
yeah.
You know, China and the retirements from Canada and stuff, is it harder to take?
I spent 6 years trying to win a race. So it wasn't like I went from, you know, you have the two complete opposites. You have Lewis who was fighting for a car and had a car that could fight for world championship straight away, got used to winning. And then for him, probably going to not winning was quite an extreme thing. For me, I was trying to win because we had such a terrible car for 6 years. I'm more used to not winning because of these situations than I am to it. So, you know, it was still like a new to me, all of these situations, and I've kind of feel like I've at the minute or a little bit more like we were just a few years ago. But for now I've definitely not got used to winning, so I feel like you just reset. I've always been realistic, so it's not like you know, I'm realistic that I don't have a chance at the minute really to compete for poles and wins. If I do, then amazing, but it's not like my expectations are that for the time being.
How far off are you, do you think?
This so difficult to know.
I mean, you look at Barcelona.
We're a little way away, honestly.
The race in Barcelona was really competitive, though.
Yeah, it was better than I thought. But honestly, I thought it was one of my best drives I've ever done in my life.
Champions drive.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No one needs to see it on the outside. No one has to believe it. But inside, you know, as a driver, when you feel like you've done a good job, and there's no chance that we should be fighting that high up and fighting two Mercedes with the car that we have at the time at the moment. So generally, I thought it was one of the best drives I've done almost in my career, which is a shame. It's the only thing about Formula One is, you know, you don't always see the best drivers at the front. You don't always have the guy who drove the best and did the best performance to win a race. Sometimes you can feel like you've done the best drive of your life when you finish P10, P15, P20 even. So, you know, that's Formula One. And that's, you know, you need to be lucky at times in your life to be with the correct team at the right time and all of those things. So, I'm confident. I believe in my team, so I'm confident that it's on its way.
Lando, you said something a minute ago about the sort of the early cars weren't competitive, and then I suppose 24 is when it first came alive for you, right? you've done 158 races for the team and counting, been here for 7.5 years now. You know, you've done more races for this team than anyone else. What kind of an influence do you think you've had here at McLaren? You know, on the resurgence. When you joined in 19, they weren't in a great place.
No. We fluctuated a lot in like 19, 20, 21, just very up and down. We had moments we thought, okay, this is it, we're on the way, and then kind of took a step back and I never kind of got the momentum going. I want to believe it. Like, I've honestly never been like an ego-led guy, so I'm never going to come into an interview and say, yeah, it was all me. But I want to believe that I had a decent impact within the team, just in terms of spirit and motivation, enjoyment, fun. Like, you're a professional team and you have to act professional to all these things, but I think you certainly do need quite a few of these attributes within a team of 700, 800 people to get the most out of each other and get over bad weekends, get over bad years, because you can easily fall into a trap of kind of like McLaren were in at that point of no one wanted to take blame, no one wanted to accept and take accountability, no one thought they ever did something wrong. And for me, I've always been very much the opposite of that. Even if I have an amazing race and you go, wow, it was an incredible race, there was plenty of times I've come in and go, no, that was shocking. I did a terrible lap, could have been pole, didn't, I messed it up, whatever it was. So for me, I was always very much the opposite of how McLaren was back then. And I think that helped in some ways, you know, and it's always impossible to quantify these things. But when you put a combination of, me and Carlos back in those first few years and then me, Daniel, like certain bits always add up. I think my involvement and my commitment to the team helps a lot. But I also think for me, then I just put the biggest accountability down to Zach, first of all, and Andrea. I honestly think Andrea is one of the most unbelievable people that I've ever met, that can run a team, get the maximum out of a team, understand people, myself included, and know how to get the maximum out of people. I generally don't know of anyone better. I've not met a lot of people in other teams because I've only ever been with McLaren, but I generally don't know of many people. And I find it very difficult to believe that there's many people better than Andrea.
What is his greatest quality?
Just work ethic, understanding people. I think you have to understand people, how they work, how they maximize and get everything from a performance side of things. Just the environment and the mentality of the whole team and understanding all of these things, getting people to work together. Like, there's a lot that goes into making a good Formula One team, but you know, there's not been many teams that have kind of gone from where we were a few years ago, last pretty much, to beating a Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, who have dominated Formula One for years. So we've clearly done a much better job than other people. And a lot of that, I think, is down to Andrea and in understanding all of these things. So I don't think you need to like even realize much. Like, if you have a 10-minute conversation with Andrea and you sit down and speak to him. And for me, like, a lot of our conversations are not even racing related. They're the complete opposite of that. But 10 minutes is enough to realize the kind of person he is.
Do you think you've taken a step forward as a driver since he became team principal?
100%. 100%. Easy answer.
In what ways? How has it helped you on track? Are you more consistent? Are you...
No, it's a lot deeper than
you,
that.
are you faster?
No. Yeah, I certainly think I'm faster. I think also just it's more, I think, me as a person. In my perspectives, my values.
Is it almost a paternal role that he's playing?
I wouldn't say that. It's just, I think he's just a very, very good leader. I think he's a very good team leader. And the speeches he gives, the amount that he cares also, I think he cares so much, which is one of the most important values. He has a lot of respect. And when you just mix all of these things together, you want to listen to everything he says and understand everything he says. And I've just learned a lot from him.
I'm fascinated by leadership in Formula One. And what we're talking about now reminds me of something Mattia Binotto said on this show just a few weeks back. We were talking about Schumacher. And he said, Michael was a brilliant racing driver, but he was an even better leader
Yeah.
than he was driver. was I thought was fascinating. He was, you know, literally he'd say, right, guys, we're going this way. And we would all follow him. Do you see yourself as a driver in a leadership role like that?
It's tough. Like, certainly not a few years ago. I certainly think there were certain things I felt like that I played a good part of in the team in terms of like morale and enjoyment and seeing positives at times and taking accountability. There are different versions, which in some ways you can maybe put under those words. I'm not like a public speaker or anything, so I'm not going to stand in front of the whole team and give the most inspirational, motivational speech. But I think more in the way of just personality and care, respect, love, like for the team, for the people that I work alongside, just like genuine values, I think is where I feel like I've played a good part. Yeah, I think like saying team leader is a very powerful thing. I don't know if I would kind of say that about myself, but I definitely feel like I don't know how to say it. I don't know what other word is kind of not as powerful as leader, but within a similar regime as that.
But Lando, when you look at the world champions on the grid today, they all seem to have that role in the team. And I look from the outside in at you and your influence that you have on the people you work with. And I think it's absolutely the same with you, which is, you know, Max is very much the team leader, isn't he, at Red Bull. Lewis appears to be taking on more of that role at Ferrari, and Fernando, you know, kind of every team he goes to. So it's interesting, isn't it? Do you see yourself as a one team driver? Like Jim Clark? Jim Clark only ever raced for Lotus in Formula One. He won a couple of championships. Do you see yourself and McLaren wedded like that?
Very, very potentially. Because I don't know how long I'll be in Formula One. You know, my contract still goes for a good amount of years. So I know I'm not leaving anytime soon. Yeah, I don't know.
Could you ever see a day where the challenge to do it again somewhere else becomes just a personal challenge? Or loyalty to McLaren is above everything?
If there's any place I want to go, there's only one place. That's it. But
so, I mean, do you want me to, can I guess?
You can say whatever team you want. I don't care. But there's only one place I'd ever be interested in. But that's very, very, you know, in the distant future. For now, I'm heavily committed to McLaren being the only team I'll ever want to be with. And I feel like they're my family. I want to do as much as I can with McLaren for as long as possible, for, you know, 5 years, 10 years. And I'm very, very proud and happy that I can say that, you know, more than almost many other drivers ever in Formula One. So yeah, for me, that's my goal, is to be with McLaren forever. But I also love winning. So until that time comes, you never know. But even if I'm not winning, you know, I didn't win for 6 years. I could have gone to different places and I didn't, because in the end of the day, I just want to enjoy. Like, it goes all the way back to the very beginning, honestly. You easily have that perception from people saying you have to be cutthroat and do all these different things. But I'll do my best with McLaren forever. And even sometimes if we're not winning, that doesn't mean I necessarily want to go to another team. I just want to be with the people that I enjoy being with. That's the only thing I really care about.
This episode is sponsored by Vanta. If there's one thing in business that's spreading as fast as AI, it's AI risk. If it feels like there's a new AI tool to try every week, you're probably not imagining it. Every new integration, every new platform, promising to make your team more productive. It's all great until you stop and think about how each one creates another opportunity for something to go wrong, because most security programs weren't built for AI's pace of growth. It's a new challenge and it needs a new approach. And that's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the number one agentic trust platform used by over 16,000 fast-moving companies like Nando's and Granola to ensure they're always audit ready. And now Vanta is helping companies like yours keep an eye on the risks that appear between audits across your vendors, your AI tools, and your whole environment. It does this by acting like a 24/7 GRC engineer in the background, finding issues, drafting fixes for you, and cutting vendor assessment time by up to 50%. Whether you're a fast-growing startup or a global enterprise, Vanta is here to help you automate your security and compliance and earn and prove trust. So get started today at vanta.com/grid. That's vanta.com/grid.
Do you think you need to be cutthroat to win in Formula One?
I think there's moments that helps. I don't think you have to be a cutthroat person. There are moments when you need to maybe play a little bit more of that role and have that attribute when you might need it. But I don't think all out you need to be cutthroat. I don't believe that, or overly aggressive or selfish or any of these things. There are times when I wish I was maybe more in that direction, and I could just fall upon that attribute more in my life and within racing, but it's hard for me to do so. So that's, you know, last year where I very much wanted, just on my own values, there was plenty more times when I could have probably, you know, got off the brake and committed more and ended up maybe crashing just to prove my point of I'm not going to back out. But yeah.
Was there a little bit of that at Singapore or not?
Lando Norris has got himself up to fourth position, might be third position. He's side by side with his teammate, and Oscar Piastri is millimetres away from the wall as Lando Norris gets by in a crucial move for the World Championship and is the damage to one of the McLarens.
Maybe a percent.
but do you know what? Interesting, I'm not just talking about how you drive on track. I mean, I think one of the saddest stories of sort of the modern era is Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg. They were best mates in karting. They were in the same team. And yet both of them were prepared to sacrifice their friendship to win the world title, right? And they still don't really talk. I feel that's really sad. Are you in Do you understand where they're coming from? Would you sacrifice?
Completely.
You would sacrifice a friendship to win?
No, I get where they're coming from. I don't know if, like, I think for them, I'm sure they didn't want their friendship to end or to kind of go the way that it did. I certainly wouldn't want to. But I very much understand how it's possible. Like, I'm lucky I've had a teammate that's, I think, shares very similar values, and therefore you don't go in that direction. But it's so, so easy to end up in the way that they have done. If your two teammates fighting for a world championship, it takes so little for you to go in that direction as teammates. Like, it's easy to do.
Give us an example. Holding back a bit of information in a debrief, is that what we're talking about, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, it can be a collection of things. Depends how strong you are as a teammate. It can be hiding things, just lying. You know, lying, not being upholding to things you might have said before the races. You can easily go back to, Budapest a couple of years ago.
And Lando, there are five laps to go. The way to win a championship is not by yourself. It's with the team. You're going to need Oscar, and you're going to need the team.
Lando Norris is backing off. He was on the cusp of a second Grand Prix victory. A swap of positions. Oscar Piastri goes back through into the lead of a Grand Prix. The gap in the Drivers' Championship could have come down to 69 points, but instead, the man from Melbourne leads.
Yeah, you don't need to say anything.
I led the race, and there's so many people like, oh, I wouldn't have let him back pass and all of those things, you know. So easy for me to just keep pounding around and win the race. Some people might have loved that, but I genuinely probably wouldn't have been able to live with that for the rest of my life. So,
and do you think that would have really affected your relationship with Oscar 100%. If you had done that?
The team wouldn't be the same as they are now. Probably wouldn't have won the Constructors for the last 2 years, which probably means we wouldn't have won the Drivers' Championship. I wouldn't have won the Drivers' Championship last year. That's how easy it is for things to go wrong in Formula One. So, I think if I won that race, McLaren wouldn't have achieved what they have over the last few years.
Have you and Oscar sat down since Abu Dhabi and just had a really good chat? I mean,
But the thing is, like, we have team chats all the time. Like, it never just me and him, but we have team chats every single weekend, multiple times. That include him, I, Andrea. We both have our own chats with Andrea, and then things are shared between us. So no, we've not had like a man to man just chat. I don't think any of us, we wouldn't want that because we're just not we just both find it awkward and probably laugh. So no, we wouldn't.
Hey, the relationship looks good. I saw a really fun thing on the McLaren social channels about you two scrapbooking, right? Going.
I mean, McLaren makes you a lot of stuff that I wouldn't do.
The reason I'm raising it is that you two seem to rub along pretty well, given everything that's happened.
100%. I don't know. It's always just trickier to talk about these kind of different moments and having one person win over another. Like it's, yeah, if I could just have the same, have it happen, but never things kind of be awful or kind of hurt someone more than the other, I think that's how I would have it. But this is a sport, you know, is where we both care a lot about wanting to be better than one another and to prove you're the best in the world. And people are always going to be hurt. Like I'm going to get hurt at some point in my career because I lose out to him or another driver, and the other way around. So it's that's just sport. Like you always have a winner and then you always have losers. I've been a loser for many times in my life, and for the first time was a winner. So
are you a better racing driver now that you've got the championship in the bag? Are you driving with more confidence? Are you more relaxed?
Yeah, both of those really. Like when people say, what's changed since you've won a championship? Simply, it's just those two things. I feel more relaxed because I spent 20 years to achieve one thing and I've achieved it. So I can die happy now. You know, like this is my life led to that one moment. And I'm just very, very happy that I managed to do it. I'm proud of myself that I managed to achieve it with all those people around me. And when I'm relaxed, I generally can feel more confident. Winning the championship last year has just allowed me to have more confidence in an underlying way because I feel like I can just lean on that. Like I just have something to go, nah, you came from a lot worse last year or you went through a lot worse last year at times and came out of it in the best way possible. So I've given myself a block to lean on and that's exactly what I need at times. So whereas last year I kind of never had that and I had to work with, you know, specialists and people to kind of give me a support from people around me and try and just give myself my own support at times. Because at the beginning of the year, I certainly didn't have any of that and kind of never had much of that as a driver. But now I just have my own blog built by this. I've got my own trophy to lean on and that's a very good thing to have from a confidence point of view.
And if you're in a similar situation again, fighting for the championship, will you fight in a slightly different way now that after everything you learned in 25?
In general, no. There'll be maybe moments I make some different decisions here or there in a race on an overtake or a defense or, you know, could you have defended that one place better in this race back there? Yes. Could you have maybe committed a bit more on a braking and got this position here? Yes. Could you have done that one qualifying lap here or there where you could have improved 200, got one more position, maybe won a race or finished higher up? Yes. So, you know, there are little things along the way that subconsciously and naturally you'll kind of make better or decide better at the time.
But also just where to put your energy, right?
I mean, certainly that just comes, I think, with experience.
Not winning a title, that's just years of
not
doing
just winning. I think every year you learn what you kind of need to care about more, what you need to spend your energy on and what you don't need to spend energy on.
Have you had a glimpse now? Do you look back last year and think, oh, Max had four titles? Yeah, he did have an advantage in those final moments. You know, think of the disqualification
in
Vegas.
I'm unsure. Okay. I'm unsure. Obviously, the disqualification is the thing that gave them hope, really. But
I thought you were remarkably relaxed turning up in Qatar.
I was going to say, like, certainly didn't make me more nervous. Like, I don't know. I was surprised. I surprised myself at how not nervous I was. I don't know the other way, confident I was. I mean, I was never that confident, but I just wasn't nervous going into Sunday of Abu Dhabi or just going into the weekend of Abu Dhabi or Qatar. Yeah, it wasn't like I was like, oh shit, they're hot on our heels, whatever it is, you know. I was surprised at how relaxed I was on Sunday of Abu Dhabi when, you know, 2 points was all it was in the end of the day. So
I've always wanted to ask you this, or since Abu Dhabi, but were you surprised with the race that Max drove in Abu Dhabi? Did you expect him to back you up into Charles Leclerc to just try and cause a bit of jeopardy? Were you expecting that? Because actually he just took off, didn't
he? Needed to win the race over Oscar. So that's why Oscar came past at the beginning. You know, I didn't need to fight Oscar. And actually having Oscar second place was a better thing for me. So I think if I was second, he would have done it.
So you let Oscar through on the opening lap, right?
I just didn't fight. I just didn't need to fight it.
Look, on the topic of Max, can I just ask you about the Nürburgring Nordschleife? I know you did some laps in it in a 720S.
Yeah, 750.
750 was it. Okay. How'd you find it?
Pretty scary, but pretty awesome. I've done loads of laps on the simulator, so I knew the whole track off by heart and like pretty damn accurate. So
were you pushing?
Yeah, I'm not going to go out on a racetrack and not push.
I know, but the Nordschleife is kind of like something.
Yeah, it's daunting at times because, you know, you have to just learn entry speeds. And obviously, I've done it on iRacing and in a simulator in like a race car, not in just a road car. But the 750's got good grip and you can push on it quite a lot. But it's just learning like what tarmacs are, because on the simulator, all tarmacs are pretty universal. Whereas when you get there, you kind of learn about the off cambers, the cambers, what tarmacs are slippery, what are very grippy, and that can affect things a lot. So I also, you're on track with like people in a Volvo estate.
Open test day?
Yeah, it was just an open, yeah. Like it always is. Normal,
and bikers coming through and stuff.
Yeah, like you have, no one came through past me. but yeah, so you're having to be a little bit more aware of some people around you. And
would you ever do the 24 hours?
I would love to. I mean, I would pick a 24-hour race over over Indy. I did Daytona 24-hour with Fernando and Phil Hansen.
Very quick.
A Le Mans winner.
Also, you were very quick in the night, I was told. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was my first stint that I did. I mean, it was raining on slicks. I think I entered the car 12th and I came out not knowing where I was. Because it was like, I think it was triple stint or something, but came out and we were leading. And I was like, oh, I probably risked way too much at that time. But
The bravado.
I was oblivious to the whole thing.
But of the 24, so you've ticked that box, Daytona.
Yeah,
Le Mans next or Nürburgring next?
No, Le Mans would be the... I don't know. I think Nürburgring is a good setup for Le Mans, but maybe Le Mans... I think it's better that way around, a Nürburgring setting up for Le Mans.
Have you had the chat with Zach about driving the hypercar there?
Yes, I have, of course. I want to drive all of the cars, so...
Would you be interested?
I mean, I would love to do Le Mans. I mean, McLaren are entering it. Of course, I would love to enter it with McLaren. That would certainly be the case. But no, my focus will still be on Formula One for a long time. So I don't know if it'll be the next 3 years, 5 years, I don't know more. But it'll be a pretty cool story, you know, for my love for McLaren and maybe staying here forever. Then to do Le Mans with McLaren as well would be beautiful.
And I know you said you don't want to do Indy, but if you won Le Mans for McLaren, you would have obviously won Monaco already. Yeah. You're going to have to do Indy to go for the triple crown, right?
Do I? I don't have to do anything.
Of course
I don't have to go and drive anything.
You went to Indy actually after Montreal, didn't you? What did you
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. I went around with I don't know, it was a Corvette or something.
Was it with Pato?
No, it was with Tony Kanaan, the great Tony TK. I ran around TK.
You driving or him driving?
I trust a lot more than any of the three drivers.
What surprised you about Indy?
Actually, how flat it was. You know, there's banking, but it's, I don't take Daytona. Daytona is like, I don't know what it is, 30-something degrees more, 40, I don't know what it is, 40-something probably. So, like, that's a banking. Zandvoort's a banking. Here is, and that's not, I was surprised at how just flat it was. And you're entering turn one and turn three at what? 240, and you're staying flat. Like that's pretty scary.
It's pretty full on, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends when I have kids. That's probably the big decider on all of it. If I have kids by then no chance I'm doing it.
Lando, it's been so great to catch up with you again. It seems like you're really in a purple patch at the minute, you know. Okay,
is that good?
Purple that's a great patch, thing. Yeah. That's a great thing.
A racing term, is it?
You've got the golf at Wentworth coming up as well.
Yeah, September, busy time. October. No, that's a little time away. You know, I'm not thinking.
What's more nerve-wracking, being on the grid at Silverstone or first tee at Wentworth?
First tee at Wentworth. Yeah. Sorry for the
people. Do you feel really self-conscious?
People stand
right?
So close when people like me tee off. that's a lot more crazy than being on the grid in Silverstone. But no, like now, you know, I've done it my whole life. If you put someone who's not driven a car that much, like I've not played golf that much, you put them on the grid at Silverstone and say, go for it, you're going to be pretty nervous. So yeah, you're always confident in what you're good at. But no, there's many things in my life I love. Obviously, golf's one of them. But yeah, cool projects coming up and plenty of things that I'm looking forward to doing.
Brilliant. Look, thanks for your time. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Cheers, mate.
That was a truly enjoyable chat. Lando was relaxed and he gave us a few really interesting insights. What he said about Hungary 2024 and the ramifications if he'd kept that win. Wow. And I wonder where he was referring to when he said there's another team on the grid that he'd want to race for. The red one? Lando, thanks for your time and enjoy the British Grand Prix as the reigning world champion. See you soon. Don't forget to check out F1's other official podcasts. F1 Nation's review of the Austrian Grand Prix is out now. I'm joined by F1 TV experts James Hinchcliffe and Alex Brundle to react to a much-needed win for George Russell. And the latest episode of F1 Explains is all about the role of driver managers with Carlos Sainz's manager, Carlos Honoru. That's on the F1 Nation feed now. Thank you very much for listening. I will, of course, be back next week with another great guest from the world of Formula One. So I'll speak to you then. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studio. Until next time, keep it flat out. This episode is sponsored by Honda. Since its first Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix, Honda has always taken what's learned on the track and used it to build better cars for everyone. From pushing limits in F1 to engineering the next generation of hybrids like the Prelude Hybrid and Civic Sedan Hybrid, Honda proves that racing doesn't just inspire innovation, it drives it. And that idea of taking lessons from the racetrack and applying them to road cars has always been a part of Honda's DNA. Decades of engineering in the demanding world of Formula One have helped shape the performance and efficiency you see in Honda's road cars today. And now that same thinking is shaping the next generation of hybrids as well. Cars like the 2026 Prelude Hybrid and Civic Hybrid show that electrification can be both efficient and genuinely fun to drive. The 2026 Prelude Hybrid and Civic Sedan Hybrid are engineered for fun. From the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Prelude and Civic and the latest innovations at honda.com.